So, some of you guys might know me. My name's David. I've been a camp counselor here a few times. I've been helping out with the camp here for like three-ish years, roughly. So not the longest time. Most of the dudes here I've probably had in my cabin at one point or another on a spring retreat or fall retreat or in summer. And I remember sitting in the seats of chapel, and I was always hoping one day I could maybe get up here and speak and teach you guys. So I'm really grateful for this opportunity, really happy just to be here. Really happy to just kind of dive into what we're going to talk about. And yeah, I want to see hopefully some growth out of you guys and see what God does in your lives, and I'm excited for that. But with that said, our theme for this week that Uncle Paul's doing is like cartoons. And this idea in Looney Tunes, we see consistently like the show a lot of times would end with somebody going like, that's not all. And there's like more to come. Or kind of like in a movie like Thor will return at the end of like Avengers or something when you see like something else is to come. There's something else that's supposed to be happening. And in the same way, our walk with Christ is just like that. Like a lot of us sometimes get a good relationship with Christ, and we maybe pray a prayer, and we maybe accept God into our heart, but that's not where that ends. And it doesn't just stop there. It doesn't just stop at going to church every Sunday or Wednesday or opening your Bible occasionally. It's a lot more than that. So over this weekend, we're going to talk a little bit about kind of those next steps you can take. And if you haven't taken that first step, hopefully this is something that encourages you, and you can kind of see what that walk with Christ kind of looks like a little bit. So we're going to get into mostly communication with Christ, and I want to talk about how we communicate with God in particular. And that's going to reflect how we communicate with others and how we just go out our lives in general. And I think when we are communicating with God, I think it can get really complicated. I feel like a lot of times, like when I am gonna pray, I'm like, does God hear me? Am I needing to like repent before I even talk to God, before I praise God? Am I supposed to be like pouring holy water on myself or something? There's like all these like random things and all these things that we do in religion to like make ourselves ready to talk to God, but really it's not about any of that stuff. It's really about what's happening inside of us. So hopefully we can see a little bit about that this week too. But before we get to learn how we can talk to God better, we probably should learn a little bit about who God is. I mean, if you're going to open like a relationship with somebody, you don't just like become best friends with somebody without getting to know that person a little bit first. I don't think that really happens that often. I know some guys I've met pretty much like immediately I'm like really good friends with, like Tristan, like on site, we were like pretty close, but there still was like a process of like us getting to know each other to develop that relationship. But even before that, I want you guys to get to know me. I want to share my testimony with you guys, and we'll go from there and get into the lesson a little bit more. So before I do that, let's go ahead and pray, and we're going to just kind of open this time, just give it to God, and we'll go from there. Father, Lord, thank you just for this opportunity, God. Thank you just for allowing me this opportunity to speak to these guys. Father, thank you just for all the campers, guys and girls, that just came out here and all the staff, Lord, and just Camp Tapawingo for hosting this, Lord, and just all the opportunity that is here, Lord. Father, thank you for what you're doing here at this camp and what you've been doing, Lord. Pray that you just speak through me to these guys and that it's not just me speaking, but that they see you through this, Lord. Yeah, and just thanks for this time, Lord. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen. So, probably like a lot of you guys, I was born into a Christian household, kind of like have a lot of opportunity to become a Christian really early on. Like, the opportunity for me to become like a really strong Christian was like all set up there for me. It was right there in front of me. My parents both were working with my church at the time. It was a fairly large church. They both served in the church a lot. I went to a private Christian school. All my friends were Christian. I don't even think I understood what an atheist probably was until I was like in middle school at least. And yet, even with all that, instead of me looking to a relationship with God, I tried my absolute hardest to appease every single other person that I went to school with. I mean, every single time I went into class, I was always trying to be like a class clown and like joke or act up or say something. And it got so bad, eventually the principal at my school had a desk in her office just for me because I kept getting in trouble at school so much. Anytime I started acting up, it was just boom, immediately I was getting sent to like the office, like instantly. I think I probably spent more time like sitting in that office than I probably did in my classroom by like fourth grade probably. And so I was constantly just seeking approval from everybody else, anybody but God. And I was constantly getting in trouble at home. And I think finally I probably had enough. And I remember in fifth grade was the first time I professed my faith, was with a man named Corey. And I thought that was gonna be it. I thought, like, that's it. I'm a Christian now. I'm saved, I'm perfect. We're good, easy ride. I'm not getting in trouble anymore. Piece of cake. But instead, what ended up happening is as soon as I got saved, as soon as I kind of professed that Christ is Lord and kind of asked God to come into my heart and be in my life, everything in my life just kind of got flattened, it felt like. My big sister, Lauren, who I really looked up to, kind of had a falling out with my parents, and she kind of moved out and then just kind of went like incognito, and we didn't talk to her at all. So now the person that I looked up to the most is gone. And my parents, I was still getting in trouble at school. So like halfway through my fifth grade in school, my parents decided to pull me and make me homeschooled, and I wasn't getting along with my parents at all. So now all my friends that I was seeking attention from are just like pulled from me, and they're gone. And so at this point, the two things that I looked to every day to get like satisfaction is gone. And my parents at the same time decided to get some tests done on my brain. And we found out that my ears weren't working well, my eyes weren't working well, and my brain wasn't producing the chemicals that it was supposed to. And basically, all this got thrown at me at once. And it was right after I got saved. And to me, this just like wrecked me. It made me question my faith. And I think a lot of times, we get to a point where something bad can happen, and we can question our faith. We can wonder if God's really there, especially like when bad things happen. It's like, how can God exist if he created me this imperfectly and he's taking everything from me right after I gave my life to him? That's impossible. So I pretty much rejected God at this point. So I'm starting middle school right after being a Christian. I'm rejecting God. I'm kind of rejecting the faith. I hate my parents. And I got diagnosed with a serotonin disorder, which is a brain chemical responsible for like depression. And so if you guys ever take like an antidepressant, what you're getting is like a serotonin inhibitor, something that helps with that. So all the things I'm seeking glory from are gone from me. I have basically just my parents now, which I don't get along with, and my other sister, which I didn't get along with. And I have depression. And I'm like, this sucks. And God stinks. And that was kind of my conclusion. So I immediately turned to the opposite. I was like, if the Bible says that I shouldn't do these things, I'm going to do it. Because clearly God doesn't know what he's doing. That's impossible. So I got deep into like pornography, and I got deep into just lust and seeking after that. I got really addicted to that. I started trying to cure depression by any over-the-counter like household drugs I could get, just taking as many as I can every night. And it just basically led me to this point through middle school where essentially I was just crying myself to sleep like every night, going to bed, hating life, hating God, hating religion, hating my parents, hating it all. And it led me to some really, really dark places. And a lot of times this can happen to a lot of us where what we seek gratification from outside of God doesn't work out for us. And it doesn't go the way we plan it to. So it consistently leads us to these dark points. And all I was doing this entire time was shutting everybody else and just isolating myself and keeping it to myself and building it up inside of me. And it wasn't until about freshman year, I was going into freshman year, I thought maybe this will be a good way for me to get in with some of the high schoolers. I was probably more worried about talking to girls at that point and trying to get in with them. And I went on this mission trip to Chicago trying to kind of start fresh and be like, I'll be cool in high school. That'll work out for me. Middle school stunk. I'll be cool in high school. And I go to this trip, and the entire time, I didn't really pay attention that much. I was serving God, and yet I wasn't like really serving God in my heart. I was just there for the social experiment. And Thursday night on the trip, it's our last night there, our last full night there, there's this worship service. And we're in this church in like the hood of Chicago. We are the only white people there. And it's like totally foreign. The preacher at one point, I'm pretty sure, was like preaching in Spanish. I don't even know what he was saying. And in the middle of this worship service, one of the guys that's on the stage worshiping like decided to kneel down, and he decided to kind of like talk to me. And I don't know why, but it's like everything at that moment for me just stopped. And though the whole worship service was still going on, he stopped and he put his hand on me and he's like, I want to pray over you. And his name was Hector Dominguez. I've never like seen this man in my life before until that night. And for some reason, he had words that really impacted me and kind of turned my focus back towards Christ. And on all these things that I was holding up in me, Hector prayed. And I remember vividly at one point he said that, I don't know whatever is going on in this guy's life right now, Lord, but whatever it is, you've already beat it on the cross. And so for some reason that stuck to me, even though I heard it every single Sunday in church, for some reason that time, that stuck with me. And it was like I didn't have to keep all these things inside of me anymore. I could give it to God. And so I was like, all right, God, I'm not just going to start fresh in high school with new friends. I'll give you another chance. I'll try to give you one more shot. So I remember just being really emotional that night, praying and just giving everything to God, trying to confess everything that I was up to at that point, and just trying to seek him for help. And about a month later, my pastor at the time gave a lesson about how nothing on this world matters, basically how we're going to be in heaven one day. We need to be focused and set our sights on heaven and not be seeking glorification from this world. And those two things right there totally changed my mindset and led me to where I am today. So the same person that I was, I still have those same issues. I still have like a disorder in my brain like that, that basically means I should be on antidepressants and stuff. But yet the same person that was turning to everything else now led me to where I am now, standing on the stage talking to you guys. So I hope from what you can see out of my testimony, there's two big things. I want to focus on the downside of being alone. Clearly, when I was isolated and when I pushed other people away, that's when it got worse for me. And I think that's very consistent with what we see in the Bible and what we see in life. Japan has a really cool culture. I love Japan. I think they have really cool stuff they're doing there. Japanese culture is super isolated, and they end up having like the highest suicide and depression rates there in Japan. I don't think that's a coincidence. There's a correlation with that. Clearly for me, the times where I'm struggling the most in my life is consistently when I'm pushing other people away and not communicating. So that's one thing I really want you guys to see out of my testimony, hopefully, is the danger of being alone, but also the importance of communication. Like on the flip side of that, how much growth and how much joy you can get from communicating. I wouldn't be good friends with Tristan if I didn't communicate with Tristan. I get to see Tristan, like when I came in this morning and I saw him, we gave each other a big hug and we were like, it was nice. I don't have that moment if I don't take time to communicate with Tristan, if I don't take time to invest in him. So if we don't take time to invest in God, we're just gonna be making it harder on ourselves. So now we're gonna get into a little bit about who God is. So 2 points just from the beginning there, and if you're gonna take notes or anything, you're gonna write anything down. So remember, isolation is bad, scary, dangerous, you're gonna die. Not actually, you might not die, that's a joke, but don't die. But it's bad. Isolation's bad. And then number two, communication with God is good. So, who is God? Everybody take a second and try to picture like who God is to you. What does he look like? What does he sound like? What is there a God even? Some of us maybe envision God as like a big floating cloud. Maybe it's like this bright, radiant beam of light or the sun or something like that. Maybe it's like Thor and you just think of like Zeus or something. Whatever it is, there's all these things that in the world we describe God as, but I want to take a look at what the Bible talks about God to be. I mean, we can talk a lot about like an athlete and in peak condition, and we can look at them and we can say all these things about an athlete or an actor or an actress, and we can think all these things, but until you actually get to know that person, We're just speculating on who that person is. We don't really know that person. So let's take a look at what God says about himself and his word. And there's three things I really want to point out about who God is today. So if you guys want to, you can open up your Bibles to Genesis 1, 1-1. Very beginning of the Bible, like your 10th page in the Bible probably or something. And I'm going to be jumping around, so you don't have to keep up. I'm going to kind of paraphrase a lot here. But I want you guys to see where I'm pulling this stuff from. That way, if you want to read it more and you want to see more about it, it's right there for you, and you can kind of see where it is in your Bible. But I want to point out how God creates things. Genesis 1:1, we see that God created the heavens and the earth day and night. Genesis 1:6, we move on a little bit. Day 2, God's like, all right, this is looking good. Let's separate the sky and the water. Let's make the sky out there. And that's day 2. Looking pretty good. He's liking it. Moving on. And he's like, yo, what if I make dry land and water? And I'm going to put some grass out there. I'm going to put some plants out there. And we'll do that. And that's pretty good. So that's day 3. Day 4, Genesis 1:14. We're going to see God is like, what if I just make just this extravagant space and sun and stars and moon and planets and galaxies? And so that's what we get on day 4, and that's pretty good, too. We're looking good so far. Day 5, things are still rolling. He's going to create sea creatures, birds, fish, air creatures. That's looking good. It's pretty nice. Day 6, Genesis 1:24, we're going to get to him creating land creatures. He's creating animals, dogs, cats, and we get to people. And this is the first time where suddenly, instead of looking pretty good, God creates man. He actually takes a little bit more time with man, and he breathes his own life into it. So you'd think this is like the pinnacle of creation. It's man, it's woman, it's human. We've done it. We got the pinnacle of creation. This is going to be the best creation. And in fact, this is the very first thing in all of time's existence that was not good. See, the Bible, as we're seeing in Genesis, we keep seeing God created this on this day, and it was good. God created this on this day, and it was good. The Bible keeps noting it was good. The Bible is God's word. So this is God himself saying it was good. The creator of everything is saying, I approve this. This is good. And then when he gets to us, he creates us, and he says, this is not good. And the reason that it's not good is because he noticed that man was alone. Human is alone. And that's not good. So the first thing we see in creation is that humans alone, that's not good. That's the very first thing that's not good in all of time. I mean, that there's a lot of weight to that. Hopefully you guys are seeing the importance now, like how through the beginning of time, through the foundation of time, being alone is very bad, it's dangerous. We're gonna get back to that later. We're gonna get back to being alone and how it's bad and dangerous and scary a little more later. We're gonna keep rolling on here. But first thing I want you guys to see through Genesis 1 through kind of like the beginning of 2 is that God is our creator. And he didn't just create us, you know, without thought. He really intentionally designed us, and he cared about creating us. That's what God talks about himself there. So God is a creator. Next, we're going to go to 1 John 3:1 in our Bibles. So like the opposite side of the Bible. First John 3:1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why is that the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved are we, God's children, now and what we will be and has yet to appear. And it keeps going on and keeps talking about kind of some prophetic things about God going forwards. But the thing that I really want to point out here in Genesis 3:1 and the beginning of 2, 3:1 through 2, is that God describes us as his children. So it's not just that he created us, but he's also our father. We are his children, he's our father. This is a family relationship there. It's not that he just created us and we're like a pet to him that he kind of puts to the side. God created us and he wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to be our parent. And that can be a difficult thing for us to grasp sometimes, especially if you have a bad relationship with your parents. And as I said, I had a terrible relationship with my parents growing on, and I kept rejecting them, and I kept like yelling at my parents every day and hating life. So I get that, and that can happen, and that can be hard for us to imagine God being a good father. I'm going to touch on that a little bit later, but I want to show that God describes himself as our creator, and God describes himself as our father, if we're willing to accept that. Now, you can be like me, and you can reject your father, and you can reject that relationship, but at the end of the day, there is a truth that God created you, and he is your father. Whether I like my parents or not, and I reject my dad or my mom or not, they're still my biological parents. I came in this world from them. So, however you feel about God, at the end of the day, God still created you, and God's still your parent. He's still your father. And in turn, God wants to have a relationship with you. So that's what we're getting to in point two. So I really want to highlight God being our father. So we see being alone is bad, scary. Talking to God is great, good, it's cool. And then we're going to get into God is our creator, that's great, and God is our father. So these are kind of the things to keep remembering. And now we're going to get into probably what is the absolutely most important part of this. And we're going to go to the most basic Bible verse in the entire scripture. Go ahead and turn to John 3:16. I'm going to point out another thing about what God describes as himself. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And it keeps going on there. And it's really talking about how Jesus came down and gave himself as a sacrifice for us. That's a lot of time where we pull that verse from. But the thing that I really want to point out there is that God loves us. And the reason that God loves us, and the way that God articulates himself and shows himself how much he loves us, is that he was willing to make a sacrifice of his own kin, his own son, for us. Now, in the Bible, at this point in the Bible, a lot of this was written in Greek. So the one-to-one translation of what love is not the same. And a lot of you guys probably take Spanish. So in the same way that the Spanish language doesn't always have a direct translation from some of their words to our words, it's the same here. So love has like 7 or 8 different types of love in the Greek language. There's a bunch of different ways that love is described. I mean, if I say I love fried chicken, that means one thing. And then if I say I love my girlfriend, that means another thing. If I say I love my parents, that means another thing. If I say I love soccer, that means another thing. There's different types of love, right? There's romantic love, there's fried chicken love, there's athletic love, there's different types of love. And so what Jesus says about love, the highest form of love there possibly can be. Jesus is walking with the disciples. They're walking around. And he's like, the greatest form of love you can possibly have for somebody is that if you were willing to lay your life down for them. There's no greater love than that. That's the highest form of love. And that's from Jesus himself, God, saying there's no greater love than if you're willing to lay your life down for somebody. And so if you think of someone or the thing that you love the most, maybe you guys can resonate with that. And you can think of, I wouldn't without hesitation be willing to lay my life down for that person. I would sacrifice myself to that person if it benefits them and keeps them alive and sustained. I would do that because I love that person. And in the same way, the absolute highest form of love that we can display, God displays through for us through his son. He was willing to die for us. I mean, it wasn't that God just says, I love you guys, you're cool, and like kind of like a pet. And I know some of us might love our pets a lot, but like it's a lot deeper than that. It's not that we're just like a side creation that he made and he's ignoring. We're somebody that he really wants to have a genuine relationship, and he says himself that there's no way that I could love you more. The highest form of love I could possibly give you, I'm trying to give you, and in fact, I already gave you in the past. And that was the same thing that really changed my life, was understanding that. Is that no matter what it is you're going through, God already gave you the highest form of love. So when I rejected everybody, and as you guys are in life and you might push people away and you might be dealing with stuff on yourself and you don't feel like you're loved and you don't feel like you're getting along with people, it doesn't matter because God already gave you the highest form of love possible. And once again, this is how God is describing himself. So we see here that God created us, and in turn, we're his children. And in turn from that, he loves us. So there is a loving Father who created us out there. These are the ways that God describes himself. So if we're trying to get to know who God is so we can talk to him more, think of him in that way, not big clouds or radiant beams of light. And yes, that is some of the ways that the Bible talks about God. In Revelation, I believe, we see John describing Jesus, and he talks about how Jesus had a sword coming out of his mouth. He had like fire in his eyes. He was literally holding like galaxies and stars in one hand, and like in the other hand, I think he had like a flame or something to that effect. His feet were like bronze, and it says his like radiant glory was like too much to be looked upon. So like, we can view God that way. And like, if you're physically, tangibly trying to view God, yeah, it's like this really intimidating, like, being that's just going to destroy everything, it looks like. But the way that he describes himself and the way that he wants us to view him is loving, creating, and our Father. So, those are the big things about God. And if you're writing stuff down, remember, Creator, Father, love, that's God. That's who God is. And there's so much more to God. I'm like super simplifying it right now. There's so much more to God. Uncle Paul and like Angela back there can tell you like 100 things about God that I probably don't know. And like all these things, especially Miss Leanne at the tower, like how much scripture she knows. There's so much more to know about God. Tristan, I know a few characteristics about him, but every single time I get to know Tristan better, I keep learning more about Tristan. I learned that he likes to act like a dog sometimes, and he's a mad dog, and he gets underneath the cabin bunk sometimes and crawls after campers. That happens. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's a real thing. Tristan's done it. I wouldn't know that about Tristan, though, if I didn't take the time to invest in Tristan, though. So, as we're getting to know God, those are the core fundamentals of God. But even with all that, it might be like impossible for us to grasp this idea of God loving us. I mean, how could God love something that he created? Like for me, in my head, especially when I thought about the defects that I viewed myself as and the mistake that I viewed myself as, my parents didn't really even plan to have me, I don't think. I think they had their first two children, and my mom was told, probably shouldn't have any more kids, and then suddenly I appeared. So, like, all those things are in my head, and I'm like, dang, I'm not supposed to be here. Clearly, there's not intention, and it might be hard for us to view that. So I left it in the back on accident, so I'm going to walk back here and grab this. But I love building Legos. And yes, I'm about to compare us to Legos, but bear with me on this. I love building Legos. I actually didn't build this entirely myself. I got really frustrated with it and gave up with it like halfway through because I hated this Lego set and I broke it like 3 times building it. So my sister actually completed this one for me. So shout out to her. That was great. But I got to put on the final pieces and finish building this thing. And I built a lot of Legos for Christmas. I got like a big castle Lego set to build, and I like spent hours building that thing, and it was like the best experience of my life, and I don't think everything's ever gonna top that. And so building Legos is great. A lot of you guys probably built Legos when you were growing up as kids. And when you build Legos, and when you finish it, you don't just finish it, and you don't just set it here, and you just kind of walk away from it on your shelf. Some people do that. They're collectors. You just kind of set it there, and they just walk away from it. They don't really see it ever again. But even the collectors that don't play with their Legos, you're going to build it, and they're going to take time to admire it. You're going to build it. You're going to take time to look at it and be like, wow, this is cool. I mean, this thing has, like, an engine on the back here where, like, when I move the tires, you guys can't see it whatsoever, but when I move the tires, there's, like, pistons in the back of this thing that move. On the top here, this knob makes it to where the tires turn. There's like a hood here that you can open. The door's open. I'm like, there's so many features on this thing. This thing is sick. Nothing can top Legos. Legos is the peak of my love is Legos at this point. That's a joke. That's not true. But Legos are cool, but I don't just ignore the Lego when I finish creating it and building it. I want to admire it, and I want to spend time with it. The very first thing as a 23-year-old after Christmas this year, when I got this thing finally finished building, I immediately went down to my floor and I started driving it on the floor like I was 5-year-old again. Just rolling it back and forth across my table, looking at how the tires spin and how the gears move, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And it was like I was a kid again. And you see, like, as I finished creating it, I didn't just ignore it. I wanted to spend time with it. I wanted to admire it. I wanted to have, you know, fun with it. And in the same way, think how much more. I mean, this is just a piece of plastic. I didn't breathe life into that. I didn't even design that. I just followed the instructions. I couldn't think of that. And yet, God created us, thought of us. David, who was a man after God's own heart, the Bible describes himself. Not me, David. In the Bible, David, the one that beat Goliath. We have the biggest book of the Bible, Psalms. Most of that was written by David. And David, a lot of it is all this poetry. And David, and part of it, talks about how God knitted us together in our mother's womb. In fact, the Bible says that God doesn't just know you. He knows you more than anybody else ever will. And he didn't just knit you together, create you, sew you together. He knows the amount of hair on your head. So, like, I don't think you can get more detailed than that. I mean, I know some people really well. I don't know how much hair, even though it's not a lot, on Tristan's head. I don't know how much is there. I don't know Tristan that intimately. But God knows Tristan that intimately. God knows me that intimately. He knows you that intimately. He knows you that deeply. And so think, how much more, in the same way that I finished building my Legos, and I want to spend time, and I want to play with my Legos, in the same way, God decided, you know what this world needs after all of creation? It needs you in it. It needs Tristan. It needs Cheyenne. It needs people in it. He didn't just build it and be like, cool, it's done. They'll reproduce. They'll figure it out themselves. He intentionally thought of you at the foundation of this earth and said, I want you in it. And he knows you deeply. So think about how much more he wants to spend time with you. In the same way that I want to spend time with my Legos when I build it, God created you. He loves you. He's your father. And he wants to spend time with you. We see, that's another point you can write down. Hopefully you guys see with the analogy there. God wants to spend time with us, and he does truly love us. Not only did was he willing to give his life for us, the highest form of love he said, but he also, in the same way that we want to spend time with things we put into, God wants to spend time with us. So that's another point you can write down. And I think from this, I think there kind of begs a question. We see that clearly one person wants to have a relationship with us. But I think a lot of times, in the same way that I was, we can reject God and we don't really want to have a relationship with him. So as I'm going over this, think of your life and think of where you are right now, sitting in these seats, what brought you here. Whatever happened in your week, maybe consider that. Whatever's been going on with you in the last month, both in school and the pressures of maybe trying to fit in, or in the just social life, also with academics and maybe trying to make sure that you can succeed. Maybe your parents want you to go to a certain college, you need to get certain grades, whatever those pressures are. Whatever it might be in athletics, and there's pressures of making a team or trying to get more minutes in a starting role, whatever that looks like, whatever these things that you're worried about, don't just keep that to yourself. Hopefully you see in this, there is someone out there who wants to help you with these things. And so if God really wants to listen to these things and wants to hear these things from us, the question for us now, the response for us now is, do we really want to talk to God? Do we truly want to invest that same level of effort that God puts into us? Do we want to give that to him? And we're going to kind of wrap up with this. We're going to break into groups. But I want to reflect and show you guys one more time, just the importance of, as we are facing trials, as Jesus, and we'll get into this later in one of my other lessons, but as Jesus was facing probably the most difficult time any person's ever, like, faced, he was about to get crucified. And he knows he's about to have these Roman dudes come up and, like, take him to prison, and they're going to beat him, and they're going to nail him on a cross, and he's going to just bleed out to death and die. And it's horrible. I mean, I don't know how I would respond to that. I probably wouldn't feel too great if I had that news coming to me that, like, I was an enemy of the state and that, like, the government's coming to give me the death sentence. I would not be here talking right now. I'd probably be like hiding or something. But instead of hiding, what Jesus does, he immediately goes into a quiet place alone and he talks to God, his loving Father, who put him here with an intentional reason and thought that the world needed him, and he talked to him and he opened up. So, ask yourselves, in the same way that Jesus did there, and countless other examples in the Bible, as things kind of stink for you in life, what's your response? God wants to talk to you. He's willing to listen, no matter how far away you go. And hopefully my testimony is proof of that. No matter how deep you get, even if you're at the lowest of low, you get suicidal, whatever it is, if you have a strong addiction, whatever that is, if you are homeless, whatever it might be, whatever the lowest of low you can think of, God's still right there wanting to communicate and talk to you. He made you and he put you on this earth for a reason. And he thought it would be better for you to be here than for you not to be here. So if he wants to talk to you, do you really want to talk to him? So I'll pray us out and we're going to break into our groups. And you guys will have a chance with your counselors to kind of talk about what that looks like. That can go as deep as you guys want it to. But try to be open in that time and consider, are you really sitting here today wanting to invest time into God? And are you really sitting here wanting to get to know him more and better and have that true, intimate relationship with him? So I'm going to pray us out and we'll go from there. Father, thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you just for allowing me to be here and talk to these guys. Father, I pray that just whatever you're working on in these people's hearts right now, Lord, I pray that they just are able to just really focus on that. They can pull something out of that, Lord, that they can see something in this lesson that relates to them, Lord, and that not only do they see what relates to them, Lord, but they're willing to press into that, and they're willing to inquire about that more and learn about that more, Lord. Father, I pray for the counselors. Just as they lead this time, Lord, I pray that you just allow them to have the words to speak and just the questions to ask here, Lord. Thank you again for this time, Lord. We thank you for loving us and creating us, Lord. In your heavenly name we pray, amen.